With its abundant natural beauty, charming towns, and friendly people, South Carolina offers the kind of discoveries that stay with you long after you've left. Like the realization you're good at something you never before tried. Or your first oyster roast, and a taste you didn't expect to love. And other times, it just hits. Like the view on a windswept Appalachian mountaintop. So come find the undiscovered you in South Carolina. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back to the show here on ESPN 97.5. Bringing in Bill Worrell, Houston legend, legendary broadcaster, over 40 years with the Rockets, 20 with the Astros, loves all things U of H. And he is calling it a day. Just a couple of games left that we will be able to see him calling Rockets games, which I'm sure this has been had to have been a difficult season for him. Bill Worrell joining us here on ESPN 97.5. What's up, Bill?
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good. I gotta ask you, have you had to do more homework just on your own team this year than you've ever had to? Because usually you can walk in and know every player on the Rockets. Not so much this year.
That's a good question. You're right. I've always, of course, been an old school broadcaster. I always like to go to practices at least once a week, chat with the players, chat with the coaches. That's kind of my preparation and how I like to prepare for broadcast. This is the last, actually, two seasons have been very difficult to broadcast because I haven't been face-to-face with any players or any coaches. And I find that very difficult to do a broadcast where you can enlighten your fans a little bit and make it entertaining. That just hasn't been the case. So I don't think it's probably been – I know it hasn't been entertaining for me. And I'm sure that's kind of the same way for the fans because we don't know a lot of these young guys, and it would be nice to know them, know what their fears are about playing in the league, where they want to go, what they want to do, what their aspirations are. So that's been something I think that's deprived both me and the fans from learning about these young guys.
Is it easier to walk away now with how bad, if the team was fighting like they were just a couple, 3 years ago for championships, do you think you might say, I don't know that I want to go? Is it just easier now?
I don't know that that's the fact. You know, I got into it because I love the sport. And I love the way basketball is played, the purity of the game. The great characters you have on and off the court. So that's really the reason I got into it. But that does play a part because I don't know whether, you know, at my age, I want to go through another rebuilding for a couple of years. So, you know, I've had so many fond memories. And I've always wanted to go out when I felt like I could still do it rather than stay around a year too long. So I feel like it's just the right time for me.
This is the right play. You can play a little golf. Well, it's not like you're going to change your lifestyle much, huh? Go play some golf, which right? Am I right?
Yeah, oh, sure. You know, every day is a golf day, isn't it?
It sure is. I'm only available every day.
the only times I can't get a tee time is somebody. The pro shop says, well, John Granato's got that time.
Well,
you can't have it, Warren.
I got a big picture saying they want John Granato and not Bill Worrell out there. Bill Worrell with us here on ESPN 97.5. Can you put, because I can put it, for me, covering the Astros, my favorite guy was Lance Berkman. I mean, I you know, being in that locker room with all those guys was great, but I certainly is there a guy for you with all your years that you could point to that, man, I just loved that guy. I loved being an announcer for that guy on the court.
Yeah, I didn't actually get to announce his games, but I was his roommate for a couple of years because he went out to the U of H with me, Larry Durker, when he first came to Houston, and we became very close friends and still are to this day. The guy was probably as talented a pitcher as the sport ever had. He also was really great with the English language and became a really very proficient sports writer for the Chronicle for years. So he was one of my favorites, along with Joe Morgan and Jimmy Wynn, when the team first came to Houston. My favorite player to cover was probably Craig Biggio. Lance was another one of my favorites, but Craig and to a certain extent Jeff Bagwell were two of my favorites. And I was glad to see Clemens see the Rocket come down and play a couple of games or a couple of years with the Astros.
Can you do that with the Rockets?
Do what?
Can you? So obviously, the championship years were your favorite years. Is that obvious?
Yeah. That's pretty obvious. But I also one of my favorites was Moses Malone, and of course, Rudy and Calvin. Ray Patterson, first general manager for the Rockets, said, "Look, I got to have guys who score. I'm not interested in defense. I got to put fannies in the seats. So I want guys who can score." So with Rudy and Calvin and Moses Malone, those were really some pretty dynamite teams in the early years. And then, of course, the great Hakeem Olajuwon. What can you say about the guy? He was probably one of the greatest. I would put him right there in my list of the five to ten greatest players in the NBA because I got to see him every night, and he never took a night off. And he literally carried us across the finish line for two championships. There'll never be a greater player in Houston sports history than Hakeem.
No, it was just, man, I got to tell you, you had a prime. Now they moved you upstairs, but back in the days when you were sitting on the floor, when you were covering the Rockets versus the Celtics, the Rockets versus the Lakers, the players that you announced, I mean, is there an appreciation for it now with the greatness that league was at that time? Did you know what you were going through at the time when it was happening?
Yeah, I think you realized at the time that you were seeing some of the greatest teams of all time. Some of those Lakers teams of the 80s, you can make a great argument for three of their championship teams. And I think the team that the Rockets lost to in their second championship run, the Boston Celtics, were maybe the greatest team of all time. That front line of Parrish, Bird, and McHale with Dennis Johnson and Danny Ainge in the backcourt, that may have been one of the greatest teams of all time because they were all in their prime and almost unbeatable. So those were really, I think, some of the great years in NBA history.
How were your interactions with the referees over the years?
Well, actually, I got along with the referees pretty well. There's always a moment in the game that becomes heated, and the great referees understood that. One of my dear friends, and he became a friend of mine for a long time until he passed away, was Earl Sturm. And Earl lived in Philadelphia, and I still consider him the best official that ever tooted a whistle. But Earl was a very fiery guy, but he took control on the court. And when you saw him come into your arena, you knew it wasn't going to be easy because he was a visitor's referee. He took up for the visiting team a lot in those arenas. And he was very fair-minded, very tough. And he tried out after he retired as a referee, he tried out when I was with the Rockets, we were working games on Channel 20. He did a couple of preseason games with me to see if he'd like it. He said he didn't like it, so he never got on the air with us. But he was a great official, and that group of officials back then, they were really good, and they had great personalities, and you got to know them. There are a couple of good ones right now, but back then they were wonderful personalities. Joey Crawford was another one.
Joey was something.
He came from a legendary family. You know, his dad was an umpire in baseball, and his brother Jerry was probably as outstanding a baseball umpire that there ever was. So how about sitting around their table during Thanksgiving or something and listening to some of those stories?
Unbelievable. We got a question here from somebody. What about the trend? I mean, man, listen, the league, when Michael and Magic and Larry Bird and all that stuff, to where it is now, Bill, with the lack of defense and just the intensity, it just seems like it's night and day. What about the ownership? You talked about Ray, and you went through all the last years, and now the Tillman years. How is that different for the organization?
Well, I don't know. I think everything changes over time, and I'm fortunate enough to see how it was 40, 50 years ago and how it's come now. I hate to compare eras because it's always different. When I first broke in, it was a very physical game, and it was dominated by the centers. And they've changed the rules so much now that it's really dominated by the guards and forwards. And yet, the two players up for MVP in the NBA this year are centers. You got the Joker out in Denver, Jokic, and you got the big guy in Philadelphia, and Joel Embiid. So I don't think basketball ever really changes. The rules may change a little bit to make the court more open. But Rudy got around that when he coached. He was the first one to open up the court and surround shooters surrounding Hakeem Olajuwon. So Rudy was way ahead of his time.
He really was. Kick it in, kick it out, and knock down some threes. What about the direction of the organization now, Bill? The Astros went through it. They had their 100 lost seasons, and it turned out okay. You think this is, it looks like that we're about to see this with the Rockets now.
Yeah, it's cyclical, John. That's the way sports are. They're going to go through some painful years. The next year will be promising because they've got the core. They've got the nucleus right now. I love Jayshon Tate. And I love the two youngsters that we have, the two 20-year-olds. They're going to be great players. Wood's going to be a really nice player. So let's say, for instance, in the draft this year, the Rockets get two first-rounders, and one of them is high if they get lucky enough. And if they make good on those two draft choices, then, you only need five players in basketball to have a great team. So if they hit the jackpot this year in the draft, that'll put them a year closer to getting back to full time. Then they can use their other draft choices possibly for a big free agent the following year to put it all together. So I would say the Rockets are about maybe 2 years away if everything goes correctly for them, if they make the right choices. And that's up for Tillman to surround himself with the people who can make the correct decisions. I think he's got the best coach that he can have. Everything I have heard about Steven Silas has been good, and I knew him when he was a kid running around with his daddy, Paul. He's been in basketball his whole life. The players really respect him. Kelly Olynyk loves him. So I think the pieces are in place if the Rockets make the right decision.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this question. Back in the day, when you guys were on the road, who got the better hotel room, you or Gene Peterson?
Oh, Gene would sign in as the president and general manager. He always got the best room.
He got the suite.
Finally, Ray Patterson had to tell Gene one time, said, "Gene, you're not the general manager. Quit signing in the hotel like that." So
that's a true story too, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, he was going to get the best room. There was no doubt about it. Back in those days, Jim Foley and I didn't spend a lot of time in our room anyway, John. So we really didn't care where we just used that bed for a little bit of rest the next day before the next game. Those were the days that it was a wild, wild west out there on the road.
Oh yeah,
it was fun.
Well, everywhere except Utah. I mean, there's no.
Well, I don't know. They had these speakeasies in Utah. Let me tell you, some of the worst language that I've ever heard in an arena was yelled out by those Mormons. So,
no question.
When they would yell stuff at us and throw stuff at the court, I would look up at them and I'd say, "Is that what a good Mormon does?" And they would just lambast me. So, I got some great stories about Salt Lake City.
Yeah, obviously it was tough to play in L.A., but I was down on the court shooting video during the championships in Utah, and holy cow, it was ugly. It really was ugly. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Oh, that was brutal, and Boston was brutal. They gave you no quarter. L really was a wine and cheese crowd. You know, they had their little pinky up in the air for the first couple of quarters until the game got close. But there were some other tough arenas around the league that you really love to go into because it was just so much excitement.
Yeah, that must be, man, I bet you could tell stories for days. Man, we appreciate what you've done over the last 40 years here. Great, great stuff, Bill, and much deserved retirement now. Just going playing some golf, having some fun, taking care of your business. Well deserved, man. We really appreciate all that you've done. I don't know if we can certainly put it into words for you, but you deserve this. Have fun, play a bunch of golf. Let's get out there on the course. I would love to play.
I'm a phone call away, John.
All right, bud. Man, congratulations on a great career, Bill.
Well, thank you so much, and you've had a great career too, John. I've always followed your career, and you and your wife are wonderful people. I've enjoyed having you as a friend. I appreciate it.
Bill, so much. Thanks so much. That's Bill Worrell right here on ESPN 97.5, calling it a day, and that's a legendary voice that we are losing here in the city of Houston. He's been unbelievable for 40 years here, so. Good stuff having him with us here on ESPN 97.5. Let's take a break. Time to talk a little bit about my man Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. Whatever it is that you need to do, you can get it with Jeff Aronoff. He is going to take care of that outdoor patio, that outdoor kitchen, all the countertops in your home. You want to redo the entire kitchen. I mean, it's not just the countertops. It's the cabinets. It's the flooring. It's everything. Jeff Aronoff does it all. He just does the remodeling. And it's not, you can't just say, "Hey, come on in and fix a couple of tiles over here." I'm going to put in an entire room. He's going to put in an entire room for you, or an entire outdoor kitchen for you. Or you're building a pool. He'll put in all the tile. And he just said, this is something that he's been doing forever. He knows exactly what you need. He is going to help you pick all of that stuff out. You may not be good at that. He is. You don't need an architect. What you got is Jeff Aronoff picking all that stuff for you and getting that job done for you. So whatever it is that you need remodeled or redone, or if you're building the home, let Jeff, when they originally built the Damaris Barbecue on 610, Jeff Aronoff put the bar in. If you are building, if you are remodeling, whatever it is that you're doing, it's Jeff Aronoff at Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822,
713-880-2822. ESPN 97.5.
Love it, man. 25 items on my dresser, yes, sir. I got stuck at payday.
We got 25 items on the dresser, yes, sir. Got to get paid. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. Thanks to Bill Worrell. Good stuff. Thanks for coming in here. We really appreciate it. You guys a little worried about Yordan?
No.
I mean, he was just 1-for-4 last night.
I think he'll be fine. I mean, we were just comparing him to Ted Williams, and now he's gone through a two-game little slump. I'm not even going to call it a slump. Just two games where he hasn't hit like Ted Williams, and now you're worried.
He had 1 for his last 9.
And he fouled a ball off his foot.
Yeah.
He's walking around gingerly.
I'm not worried about that. Yeah. He never gets hurt.
He didn't foul it off his knee.
Actually, he missed a whole season.
He didn't foul it off his knee.
Yeah. How about Yuli this year? You think, are you a little worried that maybe?
What are we worried about?
Well.
Isn't he under contract? What are we worried about?
No, we're not worried about that. I'm worried about, you know, how's he, did he go from last year to this year?
What are you suggesting?
He lost weight.
He did lose weight.
It was a weird year last year.
He lost like 30 pounds.
Not 30, no.
I thought they said 25 to 30 pounds. I thought they said that.
You really wasn't that big last year.
I'm almost positive I heard Blum and TK say that.
Really? 30? That seems like a big number.
Somewhere in the 20s.
Seeing benefits of their weight loss, 28-day transformation.
He blamed a lack of conditioning and playing heavier for his struggles last year.
Lack of conditioning, but not 30 pounds.
And he said, and being heavier. I'm trying to find if he gives an official weight total.
You know, he was a little chunky. He was definitely chunky.
Shed 15 pounds.
15, yeah. 30's a, man, that's a big dude now, 30 pounds. No. He looks like a different guy. He's so awesome. I mean, that makes this lineup so much deeper. Carlos is really, really needs to pick it up a little bit. Carlos is losing a bunch of money right now. Did you see the story? It was Buster Olney wrote the story about Trevor Story. Trevor Story will be traded in season. The Rockies aren't doing anything, so they don't need Trevor Story. The Yankees, he thinks the Yankees are the fit for Trevor Story. That takes a team out. The Mets are already out. You know, Corey Seager's going to re-sign with the Dodgers. They're not going to give up on him. The big money teams have got their guys in place pretty much. So it's going to be interesting what the market for Carlos Correa is going to be, because those are the teams that will pay big money for a shortstop, but not a shortstop that's hitting like he is. He bet on himself, and I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I understand it.
Yeah.
If you think you've got that in you, but history has said you've had 1 year where you should get paid. I mean, outside of your rookie season when you came on the scene, you had 1 year where your stats speak to the level of the number of the contract you're trying to get, and that was back in 2017, where people could point to cheating, and people want to point to that. And in that one, you only played 109 games.
Yeah, right. I mean, and you know, even when, well, he had another big year in 19, but that was another.
He only played 75 games.
He had a 926 OPS, which was his second highest to his 17 season, where everybody thought he was cheating, but he only played 109 games then. I mean,
well, now last
he
year
had he a did. Full his last full season. Well, not counting last year because it was only a 60 game season. Uh-huh. Was 2016, where he played 153 games.
He's only played more than 120 games once.
So not only is it, well, he's got, not only does he have to stay healthy for the contract, but man, he better pick it up. A 693 OPS now. That ain't giving you $30 million a year, Carlos. That ain't happening, brother.
One person on that podcast of that the walkout is living up to the contract. The other one, I don't know. I don't know if the pressure's getting to him. Maybe he's just in an extended slump, but maybe signing that deal freed up McCullers to just worry about pitching.
Maybe.
Yeah. And just, I'm going to go out there and ball, as opposed to, this is a big year for me. I got to make sure everything goes right. I got to stay healthy, because it determines my future. Lance McCullers is just out there balling.
I got my $85 million. I'm happy. And you know what? I mean, if Lance turns into one of the top pitchers in the league, a top 10 arm in the league, which is a possibility. Which is a real possibility. I mean, not just because of the way he looked last night, but Lance McCullers has big time stuff.
Yeah,
number two starter stuff. If he turns into, you know, a top 10 guy, I mean, maybe he'll regret signing a contract for $17 million a year, or maybe he's, you know what,
I'm happy to be here, secure.
Yeah,
good place to live. All the things that go into baseball. Going to live in some place besides, you know, the money and you're making.
This disrespect thing, and I got to look. I'm looking at Lindor. Now, I can see it. Lindor, you know, he had the same exact OPS as Carlos coming into the season, and Lindor got $34 million, and Carlos, it was a little insulting to get only offered $20 million a year. But what about Carlos now? Is there any chance that Carlos would be a much better player right now if he had $120 million guaranteed? I don't know.
I'm sure he'd be more relaxed, right?
Yeah.
Hey,
he's gotta be pressing.
I got paid. I'm comfortable. I'm know where I'm going to be for the foreseeable future. Let's just go out there and play baseball.
239 average, 290 on base, 403 slugging. None of those numbers are $20 million a year. Numbers.
Does Miles Straw still have a higher OPS than him?
Miles Straw has a higher OPS than him.
Well, that's
not OPS. No.
On base percentage.
Yeah.
Does he still? Well, then that disqualifies you from any contract going forward. Sorry, you get the Maldonado deal until you improve.
You're not getting the Maldonado.
No, he gets the Maldonado. He gets the Maldonado until he's above Miles Straw in all the important categories.
He is Miles Straw, 293, Carlos, 290.
Sorry, you get the Maldonado deal.
Would you like the Maldonado or the Castro?
Yeah, would you like?
They're the same thing.
You just choose which one you'd like.
Kyle Tucker, 279. The thing about Kyle Tucker and another homer, he's got 7 bombs and 21 RBIs. He's tied for second on the team with Yordan with 21 RBIs. He's Yuli's got 28, which is nice, and he's leading the team in home runs with 7. But he's still hitting just 203. Dusty had a good quote about him. We'll play it on the other side about Tucker.
We got to hear from Dusty, but I got to hear from maybe the best mom in the entire NFL draft.
You want to hear from the best mom in the entire?
A lot of people were paying attention to her before they actually heard her speak. Well, look at her. She doesn't look like a mom, and she doesn't talk like one either.
We'll find that out on the other side. NFL Draft Mom, next right here on E! Along with Dusty. We'll come back with the Dusty quote about Tucker right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. And listen, you will be part of the family when you buy your vehicle from Chastang Ford. And you say, well, whatever. I mean, it's a business and everything. I'm telling you, it is more. They don't treat this just as you are a customer. Give me money. That's not the way they go about this. They care. They care about service. They care about the quality of the making sure that everything is perfect with your vehicle. They care about making sure that you are exactly where you need to be with your payments. They care by not just throwing all kinds of money on top, giving you stuff that you don't want or need because they have to upsell you. They don't have any add-ons. When you agree to a price with Chastang Ford, that's the price that you're going to pay. That's where, and they're going to work their darndest, their hardest at getting you all the rebates and everything you can possibly work the deal with Ford. So if you're looking for, and listen, the 2021s, the Ford F-150s, you can't find them in the city. You can find them at Chastang Ford. You can also find the 2020s, which they got to get off the lot, and you're going to make an unbelievable deal. So you're looking for that vehicle, ChastangFord.com, or get to 610 at Homestead, Homestead, just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
Turn up the lights in here, baby. Extra bright, I want y'all to see this. Turn up the lights in here, baby. You know what I need, want you to see everything. Want you to see all the lights.
Something wrong, I hold my head. MJ gone, I'm dead.
I slap my girl.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Teammates.
ESPN Films presents.
All right, 833 ESPN 97.5. Having some technical difficulties there. Dusty said about Tucker last night. He says, yeah, he's been on I-98 for a while, so it's good to see him getting over 200. Tucker ended the game at 203. He is now, and he did say, man, he's hit the ball hard this year. He's hitting into bad luck, but that's what you are. And he was a 198 hitter. Well, you want to get off I-98 is what Dusty said, and he got off I-98. You look up, I can't imagine when you're a big leaguer and you're coming to the plate and you look up at the board. And it's like, what was Maldonado's 070, whatever he was at the time, 071. You're like, ugh.
What about when you
I don't feel good. I don't feel good about myself standing in here.
What about when you fly out and you look up on, you know, the lineup and you see Miles Straw's coming up and his batting average is higher than mine? That would make me feel bad. When you're running back to the dugout and you go, batting next is Miles Straw. What?
Miles Straw?
And he's got a higher batting average than I do.
And you're hitting right in front of him.
Yeah.
You're usually hitting in front of Miles Tucker.
No, Kyle Tucker is hitting in front of who? Maldonado or Straw?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So right. I thought you were talking about Correa.
No, well, him too, I guess. but I was talking about Tucker in this case.
Yeah. Hopefully he won't have to live with that much longer. So now you found a little hidden gem over here.
Well, the internet always provides. It giveth and it taketh away. Right. And this time it giveth. And as I mentioned, this woman, you know, people saw her and go, wow, she looks really young. Is she this player's sister or mom? You know, all the stuff people say. It turns out, no, it was his mom. But she has a bit of a following on Instagram and people have grabbed some of her stories because she says things. Tyler, can you get the one where she talks about what Snapchat is for? Because that's my favorite.
Is that the...
It's like four, it's at the very bottom of the thread, I think 4 seconds.
Snapchat is for whores, yes.
Well, it was supposed to be a surprise. Yeah. It was supposed to be a lead.
I didn't look at the time of the duration of this, so I didn't realize that was the only thing that she was going to say in it.
Yeah.
But here you go.
Well, so you can make it a little bit easier to understand. Here's Zach Wilson's mom on Instagram.
You guys please tell Sophie that Snapchat is just for whores. You guys please tell Sophie
she only
that Snapchat
says that.
Is just for That's, whores.
She's not done, by the way.
Can y'all please tell Sophie
Snapchat is just for is whores. For
Sophie.
Who's, yeah, who no, I don't know who Sophie
who
is.
Who Sophie is. Okay. That's, we don't know. See, that's the problem. We don't know who Sophie
We don't know who
is.
She's talking to, who's right. Sophie. But if you enjoyed that, I think it's Life According to Lisa. That's the number two, Life According to Lisa. So I guess that's Lisa Wilson. And she's on Instagram, and she likes to talk. And Snapchat is just for whores, I found out.
Well, Snapchat, yeah, right. So Instagram is for good people.
Yeah, because she's not on
Snapchat is just for whores.
Yes.
Okay.
I guess.
Okay. Now, she also went to Disneyland,
right? She went to Disney, and apparently the family isn't fans of amusement parks, and she lets that be known. She also says some things about how hot it was at Disney.
So we only made it about 4 hours today at Disney World because my family kind of hates amusement parks. First of all, it was harder than hell out there, like a whore in church, and Disney, you're kind of assholes. I'm not going to lie. Always up in our business.
So apparently Disney enforces mask rules. Not surprising.
Mask holes.
Mask holes. Not mass holes or mask the other holes. One that we can't say. Mask holes.
Mask holes.
Yes.
And she was sweating like a whore in church, apparently.
Apparently hotter.
Sweating like a whore in church.
Yeah. And obviously because she's the mother of a BYU player, you're like, huh. Is that what they say? We just had Bill Worrell
didn't
on.
Bill Worrell just...
yes, we just said those Mormons say stuff.
Whew. Those Mormons, they just apparently don't...
And we can't really play...
The language.
We can't really play the second one, which is great, because she says, moms, make sure you're not raising little D's.
No, we can say that. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I guess we can.
Yeah, I mean, that's not. It's not.
I guess we can say it because she's not talking about the appendage.
No, right. Yeah.
But she just asked that moms to make sure they're not raising little D's. And she didn't like being asked about being Mormon either, apparently. But let's hear more from Lisa Wilson.
To cook, they need to know how to take care of themselves. You're not going to be around. They never know when you're going to check out. So make sure your kids know how to feed themselves, how to make their freaking bed, and how to be responsible, and how to be nice. Make sure you're not raising a bunch of little bitch, you know what I'm saying? I was trying to hold back a little bit for all my new New York followers. I didn't want to freak anybody out. The first time I say the word dick, everybody's like, are you Mormon? Why does everybody always ask that question? Why does it really matter as long as I'm a good person, you know what I'm saying? I'm just curious. Do people go around asking, like, so are you Catholic? So are you... Buddhist? Are you Lutheran? What else is there? Are you? I forgot them all now, but I'm just curious. Do people only ask Mormons that?
You're the mother of a BYU quarterback.
Because isn't good just good? It doesn't matter where you pray. It doesn't matter where you go on Sunday. It doesn't matter what you really believe. Good is good. Why do people always ask that?
Well, we're fascinated by Mormons. We are. The public in general is fascinated by that particular subset. I don't know why we are, though.
I'm more and more fascinated by watching Murder Amongst the Mormons.
Yeah, I didn't get back to it. But
I haven't either, but I watched the first episode, and I'm like, holy cow. These people are intense.
Are there going to be Lisa Wilsons on the show?
Well, I don't know. I'm a big fan now of Lisa Wilson. What is her Instagram?
It is called... Life According to Lisa with the number 2. Life According to Lisa. And you can hear her gems and you can get insight on, you know, what Zach Wilson's up to, I'm assuming. Just don't ask her about being Mormon. She doesn't like being asked about it.
She does not like.
Because she thinks it's kind of silly to keep asking, are you Mormon? Are you Mormon? I just know that Snapchat's for whores.
Snapchat is for whores. Instagram is for good people.
The good people, yes. Yeah. Where you can learn how to make grilled cheese and teach your kids how to cook and make sure they're not little dicks.
Well, that's...
According to Lisa.
According to Lisa, yeah. She is something, this one.
Look, I am glad...
She's going to be a star.
I'm glad Zach Wilson's in New York because Lisa Wilson... Not, partly because I don't think he's going to be that good and he plays in my division. Also... Lisa's going to get a lot of time. I don't know if she'll be the next Miko Grimes because Miko was aggressive, but I appreciate her. I'm glad she's part of my world now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to follow her. Enough people will pull her stuff, but shout out to Lisa Wilson. I appreciate you.
This is perfect for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if her son isn't very good, you know she's not just going to take it lying down.
Oh, no. She'll have some comments.
Yes. You know she will be someone who speaks about... the unfair treatment of her son.
Do you think the Jets knew about this before?
Did anyone know about this?
Well, no, but they do due diligence.
Well, she said she was trying to hold off with her New York followers. So apparently she that's maybe what she does all the time. Are you not going to draft a quarterback because their mom is aggressive on Instagram? I don't think that would keep him from doing that, right?
No.
Are they going to have a conversation?
But didn't Connor Cook's dad kind of...
Ooh, yeah.
That was
ugly. But Connor Cook was like a mid-round pick. I get maybe taking a step back from him when he's not... The juice isn't worth the squeeze, I guess, as they would say.
Right.
But you're taking the top 2 pick. You're gonna fade Lisa Wilson. Do you think the Jets have a conversation at some point with her? Does it get to a point like, hey, Zach, can you talk to your mom?
Mass calls... Snapchats for whores. When did she start at 97.5? No, we're not hiring her.
Well, a segment? You don't think giving her a segment would be a good idea?
That would be a great idea.
Yeah.
No, that'd be a great idea.
And look, and we can talk about Lance's, maybe his criticism of Zach Wilson. Like, hey, your son, the step down in competition really elevated his play. And then her response to that would be, look, you little mask hole. Because you know Lance loves the vaccine and the mask. She wouldn't. I don't think they coexist very well.
You don't think so?
Nah.
She and Lance can't be on the same show?
Because she wouldn't appreciate his criticism. And the first time she saw him in a mask or talking to, about a vaccine, she'd rip his ass apart.
She is. She's gonna be. Oh, she's gonna be the gift. Better content. Her or Meiko Grimes.
Meiko said stuff about their sex life. Yeah. So I think Meiko will still win. But she's not great.
No. She can keep it up. I mean, maybe she's going to shut it down now that Zach's been drafted.
Yeah. Well, this was recent. I imagine maybe she's
this was since the draft?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. I'm liking her more and more. I'm liking her more and more and more. 843 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776.
Next one, so we can steam on the way to the telly. Go fill my belly. A T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's grape.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 847 on ESPN 97.5. The week one schedule is out. The rest of it comes out today, but they leaked week one. Your Houston Texans going to be taking on the Jaguars at NRG Stadium. A noon game. The first game of Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. That will garner some interest. I mean, that's the only way it'll garner interest.
Yeah, it won't be Texans related. You'll just see the number one overall pick on the road with the star college coach who's been out of the game for a little bit, and we'll see how it goes.
That'll be something that, well, it'll be the other side that everybody's talking about, yeah, obviously.
I'm sure.
But is there any other game that would have been as interesting in week one?
For the Texans?
Yeah, that the Texans would have garnered any interest from anybody.
I guess maybe DeAndre and JJ. That game.
Yeah.
They play them. It would have been at Arizona.
At Arizona.
Yeah, they went, if they're going to Arizona to see those two, sure.
No, but you know what? That could be the Thursday game.
Yeah, I could see it.
That could be the Thursday game that you would watch. You got to do that early in the season, maybe yes. Week two or three. But the Texans going there and the seeing JJ and D-Hop again. But you got to do it before JJ gets hurt.
Yes.
You got to do it before the Texans are 0-8.
Yes,
right.
It has to. So we're talking about week four earlier. Let's get that in. I'm sure the Cardinals would love a week four Thursday night game because all the teams love them. But it has to be pretty early to keep eyes on the screen. And the Texans are going to be so bad, at least we think, that it's going to be very difficult to keep eyes on that team for very long.
Yeah, that could be. I can't think of it. I mean, with the Titans or the Colts game or the Jets game or, I don't know, certainly not the Bills, Patriots. Who, those are not, there's absolutely no national intrigue with any of those games. The Cardinal game would have to be the Thursday game.
You would imagine.
Yeah.
There's no reason to watch the Texans unless the other team has some type of storyline you can buy into. At least with this one, it's former Texans, and JJ has been less derogatory. I don't think he said anything negative about the Texans. I don't think he ever will.
No.
But DeAndre, different story. So two different guys handling it two different ways, and that's the only thing I can see being put on a Thursday. As far as instead of just burying the game because you have to give the Texans an actual game on Thursday, that one at least has storylines you can lean into. Because everything else, we're like, just get these guys out of the way, please. And I just assume if it's a get them out of the way game, it would be the Jags, the second Jags game if it happens that way.
Yeah. That's the only game that would be. It's just so bad, so bad.
Early week one odds are out as well for all of these games.
All right, so the Texans and the Jags. What number are you putting? You know the number.
I know the number.
I'm going to guess. Oh, wow. First start for a rookie, and it's on the road.
In a packed and loud and never mind. Oh, yeah, no NRG.
Well, it actually will be. But
it's opening day. People will show up, right?
Yeah, people will show up for that.
For opening week?
No, absolutely. And you can fill, especially if you can fill the stadium as well. Yeah, I mean, they'll absolutely be there for that game. I'm going to say the Texans are going to be a 2-point favorite.
And you would be wrong.
Okay.
Jacksonville minus 1.5.
Jacksonville minus 1.5. Yep. I don't see that as a... You know what? Now's the time to jump on that, because that will change. A rookie making his first start on the road.
You think it'll change in the Texans' favor?
It'll go towards the Texans' favor. Yeah.
Are the Texans going to get more talented between now and then?
You know, I don't think, you know, with Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb, with Philip Lindsay, with Tyrod Taylor, who actually wins football games, with an offensive line that's decent, with a defense, obviously, that has its problems, but they picked up Desmond King, Terrence Mitchell. They still got Justin Reed. I you know what? I'm going to tell you, I think the Texans win week one.
I am not betting on them to win anything. Not now. Not currently. That offensive line.
That's pretty good.
Maybe. I don't know that. Where is Titus Howard playing? Is he definitely? Yeah, where is he? Right.
Well, Marcus Cannon probably moves down. So. Or Titus Howard moves down. One of the two. But you still got Marcus Cannon.
Yeah, but that offense wasn't. Look, the defense was bad, but that offense, even with Deshaun, wasn't necessarily explosive last year. I mean, they had their moments, but it wasn't like they were going up and down the field. And Tyrod Taylor doesn't threaten anyone down the field. He's going to be a lot of. I think they're going to be playing in a. Despite Brandon Cooks, they're going to be playing in a 10-yard box. I don't think Tyrod Taylor is going to be taking advantage of Brandon Cooks' ability to get down the field, and no Will Fuller or another. I don't think they have any field stretchers. I don't think big plays will be the thing for the Texans. They're going to have to methodically move the ball down the field.
Well, I don't know. Brandon Cooks makes big plays.
Tyrod Taylor doesn't stretch the field. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Brandon Cooks can be as fast as he wants, but I don't think Tyrod Taylor's going to be stretching the field even in the intermediate game or or down the field. So I think that'll be a bigger problem than the guys who are out there catching the football. I just don't think that's a team who's going to be very explosive. So I'm not I don't think much of that offense, even with Tim Kelly. And with the job you did with Deshaun last year. So I can see why the Jags are favored. You're buying a lot into a rookie quarterback in Urban Meyer.
I don't like a rookie quarterback making his first start on the road.
The Texans, even with fans, aren't necessarily the most intimidating place to walk into. But I get your point. I can see it. Now, does it change? I think the public will be on the Jags.
Probably. And you know what the public does?
They make dumb decisions.
How do you think all that gold Vegas?
But you said the line.
How do you think that was paid by smart bettors?
You said the line would flip. I don't think the line's flipping.
I think the sharp. No, they don't care what the public's on. They care where the sharp money comes in. Sharp money will come in on the Texans.
Texans and sharp together.
I'm telling you. The Jags. I'll bet this right now.
Jags are more talented than the Texans.
Yeah. You can't find a team that's
yeah.
More
so why I look? There are reasons not to bet the Jags in that game for all the reasons you said. But if people believe in Trevor Lawrence, if Trevor Lawrence is as good as they think, the Jags should be favored. Andrew Luck was a rookie and he didn't have any problem. If he's as good as they're telling me,
what rookies do? They throw interceptions. They make mistakes.
Peyton
Manning threw how many? 19 interceptions his rookie year.
Rookie quarterbacks are different now. I mean, as much as I took my shots at Justin Herbert, rookie quarterback Joe Burrow didn't throw picks. Even Tua, when he got in, didn't throw picks. Rookie quarterbacks play differently now. Trevor Lawrence is supposed to be better than all of them.
Yeah, I get it. I'm taking I'm taking our team.
Good for you. If
I'm going with our team, Seattle.
You got Seattle stuff on our team, the Texans. If he's as good as if he's as good as they told me. They should be favored.
Yes. I guess they should be favored. I just don't think. I don't know. Making his first start on the road. I'm not. I'm telling you.
The hell that is coming in the NRG for a game.
That's right.
Your Seattle Seahawks are actually dogs week one
against
the Colts
and Carson Wentz. It's a home game for the Colts.
Wow. No.
Yeah, it is.
Well, the last that we've seen of Seattle is a crap defense, and that will play right in. That'll be nice for Carson Wentz to start against that defense. Seattle,
the running game of the Colts should help them.
The Colts
well.
Are going to be a pretty good football team. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I trust Carson Wentz in week one.
Well, if Eric Fisher isn't expected to play in week one, they think he might be back later.
Yeah. But he's not coming until October.
I don't know if I trust Carson Wentz, but I probably trust the rest of that Colts offensive line to run the football. So that might be his saving grace. And if Frank Reich is the thing that gets Carson Wentz back on track, Colts should be really good. If the difference between Wentz, the one we saw, and the one early in his career is Frank Reich not being there, then you got to believe that that quarterback's going to walk in there with some confidence, thinking I'm with my guy now.
Yeah,
and we'll see if it works out for him.
Yep. Well, we'll see. 8:57. We'll go. I want to go through the rest of the lines.
KJ brings up.
What?
Excuse me. Do you not remember when sorry ass Mark Sanchez came in here and beat that sorry ass franchise as a rookie? Was that Mark Sanchez's first start?
What the hell does that have to do?
He's saying, what is rookie?
Mark Sanchez is way better than Trevor Lawrence,
okay.
KJ.
Okay.
All right? So stop. Stack up some money, then blow it.
I do what I want, and that's fast. Take the stop. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.